more stuff on the MMA that we talked about a little
earlier. Oh, yeah. That's great.
It's like it's like the fastest growing sport.
Oh, I understand. I'm not, you know, I understand. I know that it's on, NBC has it on, for goodness sake.
Yep.
I mean, it's getting plenty of coverage. I know it's
right up there with pro football for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but those people are going to get beat up. You know, they're going to be really ugly.
That's kind of how it works when you're in a fight.
Man, yeah, you're right. Yeah, this is like a bar brawl inside a cage with cameras on it, huh?
And it's probably a little more mechanical. I mean, it's not just punching and a slugging. It's, you know,
it mixes boxing, judo, a lot of judo, which I find very fascinating, and various martial arts.
So there's actually a lot of brain work that goes into it. It's not this some sloppy slap out. It's, you know, actual legit good
brain
stuff.
Work. As long as it continues to work, right? You get smacked around enough, your brain may not work. Anyhow.
Well, we haven't been smacked around, so.
Yeah, and our
that?
Brains don't work.
I don't understand.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm sure it'll be great. So now this, are you going to the big fight down in Houston, Kat?
Yes, I bought my ticket yesterday.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Oh. We don't get freebies because we, you know her or anything?
I don't think so, Scott.
Hey, Kevin, she ain't been in radio long enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you need to submit for your news credentials.
If you want to be real radio pond scum, you try not to pay for anything.
Well, yeah. Maybe if Bubba worked here, but the fact that he's actually just a boyfriend of a friend who works here,
but you're
probably
you're
you
covering
pay.
The fight.
Yeah, that's right. You'll be there.
I'm going to have it on the news.
That's
on
right.
The
Let's
next
have our
day.
Pictures and we can post them on your Facebook page. It'll be awesome.
I'll start calling myself El Gato Rosado.
I don't know
that'll
that
be
means.
My fighting
cat.
Name.
Oh, that's cat. I got that part.
The pink cat.
The pink cat. There you go.
Yeah, because that sounds really tough.
Yep. All right, here we go. Two winners. The pink cat. Two winners on Tuesday. President Obama and Nate Silver. Do you know who this Nate Silver guy is?
No.
Nate said it. Again, I'd just been reading about him in the weeks running up to the election. Like I said, I saw story on him, and again, he looks 19. He's not. He's a little older than that. I think he's 35. But he got his master's degree from the University of Chicago. He's a pretty smart fellow. Used to work for the Baseball Prospectus, and I'm going to ask Louie today if maybe he ever interviewed Nate, because Louie talks to people in the Baseball Prospectus
pretty frequently.
Yep, he does. And he was, I don't remember the guy's name in the movie about Seattle, you know, who was the numbers geek who built Seattle into a good baseball team by using numbers. You know,
Moneyball.
Moneyball. About the A's.
Yeah, whoever that. Oh, it was the A's. That's right. Whoever that guy was.
Brad Pitt. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Nate Silver pretty much did the same thing in Baseball Prospectus. I mean, he's a numbers guy. And he decided, you know, and he did okay. He had a company and he sold it, and then he went to work for Baseball Prospectus. And then he decided, well, maybe politics was the place to go. He's not a pundit. I mean, he is a numbers guy. He is a numbers guy. So, get this. He picked every state correctly as to who was going to win which state.
This guy needs to go to Vegas.
Did he have an octopus at his home?
No. And he had been saying this for weeks. And, of course, the conservative pundits were saying he's crazy because he works for the New York Times. He can't be right. He got the winning percentage within a tenth of a point. Okay?
No kidding.
This guy is dead on. And it just so happens, that he's got a new book out called The Signal and the Noise. This thing skyrocketed 800% on Amazon last 24 hours after the election. And now, the second best-selling book on the site, behind only the Third Wheel Diary of a Wimpy Kid book, he's number two on the list. Now, I told Kevin this a little while ago, and he was shocked, and so I went in to verify that it's still true, that Mitt Romney received fewer votes than John McCain in 2008.
Wow.
So for all the people who thought, well, here, and the thing is, now Barack Obama got fewer votes. He got 10 million fewer votes. But we kind of figured that. There was some thought that, well, you know, look, college kids say, okay, I'm going to vote for the first African-American president. Then they're going to come back and go, I got to vote again? Why do I have to vote again? I did once in this lifetime. Because that's pretty much the way kids are at that age.
Oh, please, really, Scott. You're really. Out of touch.
Oh, am I out of touch?
Yes, okay. You are.
But there are a lot of people who thought it was too much trouble.
It was actually his amazing campaign.
Oh, is that it?
Midget
oh.
and Broom and whatnot was a heck of a campaign.
Oh, you know it. So now, Midget Broom?
Midget Broom and whatnot.
No, I don't know who those are. Who are they?
It's a kicking situation. It's a quote from a movie that
oh.
I thought.
Oh, okay.
It's one of Kevin's favorite movies.
John McCain with 59 million votes. Mitt Romney with 57 million votes. So the question is, why did fewer people vote? Why was he not even able to match McCain's totals? And there could be a lot of reasons for this.
I think disgust probably was a pretty big factor.
I think disgust is a factor. But there is also an anti-Mormon bigotry out there among evangelicals. And that
do you really think that weighed that heavy in it?
Now, this is what I believe weighed. I really do. And I think, you know, we talked to Bill Flores yesterday about the future of the Republican Party. Where do they go at this point? Because Missouri was a perfect example where Romney carried the state and McCaskill, a Democrat, was reelected to the Senate. So how is it that your presidential candidate wins and your Democrat wins the Senate race? That's a split electorate right there, and it comes down to issues. And I believe that Mormonism scares a lot of evangelicals.
You know, if we're going to talk about whose policies are scarier between Obama and Mitt, I mean, that's I'm just saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know what I mean? I mean,
yes, I know what
you. If you have to pick the lesser of two evils,
well,
I mean, it's too late for that. But you know what I mean.
Certainly, the idea is that where the policies that Obama, I think what you're saying is the policies that Obama wants to lead the country toward are far more hurtful than possibly what Romney would believe from a religious standpoint.
Exactly. Yeah. No one's going to be perfect unless, of course, it's Chuck Norris.
Yeah, right.
But really.
But the thing is, did people stay home because of something that a candidate said? And I think that the Missouri Senate race is that case. Because when you allow things like abortion and you allow things like gay marriage and you allow things like rape to be brought into the political arena, those are just third rail issues. And you know,
for everybody.
Well, and you're not going to change anybody's mind.
Nope.
You are not going to do that. So why go there? And what you should do is, I believe, as Bill said yesterday, there are going to be trap questions out there, and you have to know how to answer those. Because if I stand on a different side of any of those issues than somebody, I could talk till I'm blue in the face, and all they're going to do is get angrier. They're not going to at some point go, oh, well, I understand. Of course you're right. So the Republicans keep jamming things down people's throats that they really just don't need to be talking
about. Well, let's be fair. Democrats jam stuff down people's throats, too.
Okay, they do, but they're not social issues like that. They're far more encompassing. The tent is so much bigger.
No, well, they are issues.
Like,
because,
for instance,
for example, gay marriage. I mean, there's...
That wasn't in their campaign, though.
Well, I know, but I'm saying anything that would have offended the other side, maybe they're... Well, sorry, I'm not articulating well. But my point is, it's not fair to say that only Republicans push their ideas on other people, because
no,
that's not true.
I agree that that's...
If I've been pushed on continually the time...
Hang on just a second. Hello?
Can I go ahead and nominate Chuck Norris for the Republican ticket for 2016?
I second.
Yeah. I don't think he cares. I think he's happy enough making the money that he does.
I'll write him in. I think he doesn't want to get into politics. And
We've talked before about this. You take the Teamster... Okay, who's got a high school education, maybe that's all. You take a community activist who believes in radical change in the country, and you take a gay couple, and you take a pro-life individual. You know what? There are a lot of things they are not going to agree on, but the chances are all of them are going to vote Democrat. Is that right? I mean, am I right in saying that?
If you go with the stereotype, absolutely.
I mean,
well, I don't know. Why would a pro-life person be Democrat? You just said pro-life.
Excuse me, pro-choice. I'm wrong. Pro-choice.
I knew where you were going.
Yep. The idea is people who would socially have nothing to do with each other still end up voting in that party. And that I think part of that problem, and I may be completely wrong, but I think part of that problem is there's a social agenda that Republicans push, and I don't know if it's the old silent majority, if you want to talk about that, if you wanted to talk about evangelicals. I mean, if evangelicals stayed home because they don't like the religious beliefs of the guy who's at the top of the ticket, then does that party have a future in being able to elect a national candidate?
Well, one of the things that you and I briefly talked about, and I know we're just about out of time, but it's the fact that there's no cult of personality on the Republican side.
Right.
There has, I mean, everybody that has ever met Bill Clinton likes the guy, whether they're Republican or Democrat.
He is charismatic beyond words.
That's absolutely. Only because I haven't met him yet.
Okay, but he is. He's charismatic. You know,
we haven't seen that on the Republican side since Ronald Reagan. There isn't anybody for somebody that's my age that I've ever looked at in the Republican Party and gone, oh, yeah, I just really want to vote for that guy.
Yep. There are two situations when he came here to speak for the Bush Library, which is the anniversary was earlier this week. It was palpable when he got up to the podium. You could feel his energy. I mean, I know that sounds weird, but this guy really knows how to captivate people like nobody I have ever seen before. And you're right. You don't
know
like
who else could captivate people?
Huh?
Hitler.
Yeah, well, you're right. I'm not, and again, I'm not saying you're going to agree with his policies, but he had the ability to do that. I mean, he really did. And in many ways, Obama started that way. But there is, those are the kind of people who you have to be the leaders.
And
I mean, you do.
We don't, and if we do, the Democrats shoot them down so fast.
Yeah, I mean, they don't even get a chance to get up to the next rung.
Like
right.
Political correctness, I think, plays a big part in everything, because suddenly it's not okay to be conservative. And it is okay in television, movies, everywhere, to just be as liberal as you want. And you don't get in trouble, and the only people who it's okay to make fun of now are white rednecks.
Oh, you're right. I mean, that's true. The lifestyles that are depicted on television now are the kind of things that 20 years ago,
well, I mean,
the standards of the country would not have allowed.
Even just living abroad in England, when people would say, yeah, tell me about America, I say, well, these are all the cultural, how I would break up America into culture zones. And they say, oh, the South, that's where the racists are.
Right.
I'm like, are you kidding? There's racists everywhere. But the fact is, what our media and our movies and everything portrays to other countries is that the South is ignorant, the mm-hmm. South are gun-toting, the South are, and just, if that's what you're fighting against, I mean, you can't fight.
It is a wave. And, well, you talk to anybody who travels in Europe and you tell them you're from Texas, they go, oh, yeah, that's where you kill people. You know, that's where you execute
people. And ride a horse to school.
Yeah, and there's an oil well in the backyard.
Why do you buy?